Welcome to Crooked Stories Theater, where each week we bring you strange and quirky tales, stories with a small twist, an odd setting, a unique character. It could be a drama, a light horror, a sitcom, really any kind of story, as long as it's just a bit crooked. Hello, I'm Paul Knauer, founder of Crooked Stories Theater. A quick programming note before we begin today's episode. With Devil's Due Season 1 wrapping, all 8 episodes available now, we'd like to remind you that new stories are in production and coming soon. We'll have a few more details for you at the end of today's episode. As always, we encourage you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform, and if you like what you hear, please spread the word or rate the program, leave a review, or drop us a comment. Today, we're excited to bring you part 6 of our 8-part supernatural Western drama, Devil's Due.
Previously on Devil's Due.
It won't make a difference.
I'll ask again. Are you ready to dance with the devil?
Sir! Oh, come on. Wake up!
You said she was dead!
And now we present Devil's Due, Episode 6, Sunrise.
I'm stepping back. You're the man of the house now.
The words hit young Nathan hard. So hard that even 5 years later, he was still trying to live up to them. In truth, Solomon had never really been the man of the house in any real way. He provided little in the way of security, comfort, or even stability. Still, to a 13-year-old's ears, his step-grandpa's words were a powerful statement of his responsibility, and Nathan had tried to live up to them. So now, with his mother dying in front of him, Nathan had only one thought. Save her.
I'm going for the doctor.
You should stay. Hold her hand.
No, you stay. And do nothing like always. If I ride hard, I can be back by sunrise tomorrow. And you'll let me borrow your horse at least?
You do what you have to do.
Nathan did ride hard. And when the doctor refused to come with him, dismissing the boy with a terse, "There's nothing to be done," he jumped on the horse and rode even harder to get back. The horse saw the man first, standing in the middle of their path, arms out, almost welcoming.
Please, clear the way. Move.
She's gone, Nathan.
No. How would you... Move, out of my way.
Nathan kicked the horse, brushed past.
Yeah.
He hadn't ridden very far when once again the man appeared in front of him.
Her hour has passed.
Nathan fought to steady the horse. He looked back. There was no way the man could have passed him on the trail. Hitting even harder, the words. He knew they were true.
Your mother loved you.
She... No. No. No, 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 no.
The young man slid from his perch, crumbled to the ground. The grief washed over him.
I could have... She... The doctor, he wouldn't... I should have tried harder.
Fault is not yours to bear.
It's not fair.
Yes, be angry. Let it free.
The preacher slipped a small gun into Nathan's hands, a gift for his pain.
Your mother was wronged by this ugly world. If she would have had the life she deserved...
She loved me.
She did so love you.
She was kind to everyone.
And how did the world repay her? With a cold, hard hand, a dark cabin, and barren land. She deserved better. If only he hadn't taken it all. And now he laughs while he takes someone else's money. Someone else's life. In a dirty, sin-filled saloon in Emporia.
Nathan looked at the gun in his hand, and with that, the preacher was gone. Nathan waited outside the Emporia Saloon. He'd long ago heard the ugly details of Walt murdering his grandfather, but until Solomon had filled him in, he knew none of the details about Walt and the poker game, how Rachel had come to Solomon and his wife. The story only fueled his rage. Nathan's heart jumped when Walt exited the saloon. The young man slid in behind him and pointed the pistol at the back of Walt's head. He knew instantly that he wouldn't be able to pull the trigger. Not yet. He slid the pistol into his pocket, just in time for Walt to turn around.
You following me?
No. Well, yes.
He had to think fast.
It's just that I hear you're the best, and I was really hoping to ride with you to learn how you operate.
Best? Well, you got the lion part down, that's for sure. Though we prefer the term bluffing.
Please?
No thanks.
With that, Walt turned for the hotel. It took Nathan 3 days and 4 approaches to wear the old man down.
Fine, but keep up, keep quiet, and keep yourself fed.
It was several days later in Ellsworth when Nathan found himself sitting at the table, out of money, out of the game, and staring at the man who had started him on this journey.
Such a productive table.
Sorry to say the young man's dry. That one there, though, he's flush.
The preacher smiled at Nathan, almost a wink, before he worked Marvin and Walt over. Nathan wouldn't breathe easy until they were finally outside.
You know where that coach was going before it got robbed?
Yes, sir.
Good. You take this ring, give it back to that fella and his wife.
Nathan had his assignment, and he liked the idea of returning the couple's ring, confusing as it was in regards to his own personal mission. The preacher, though, weighed heavy on his mind. Nathan had only ridden a few minutes before he turned back to town. The young man watched from around the corner of the saloon as Walt laid out his plan to Marvin and Dirk.
That preacher, converting the town's guilt into money. It's a shakedown, plain and simple, but it's a good one. Very lucrative. I need you boys to help me nip that big bag of shame he carries.
Shame? Money, you idiot. It's a bag of money.
We split it 3 ways. You up for it?
Shoot, yeah, we're up for it.
Nathan's discomfort grew. He was naive, but he was learning fast. There was something about the preacher. Nathan knew the man was scheming, convenient as it was to his own feelings. But he still couldn't explain the reappearance on the road. If it was a parlor trick, a con man's gambit, it was convincing. Nathan decided to hang back and observe. Nathan tracked Walt across the prairie as the old man rode after Marvin and Dirk. He stayed back until Walt crossed the ridge to check on the 2 bodies. He watched as Walt got bitten by the snake, wincing with every strike. But when the snake transformed, when the preacher appeared, Nathan's mind swirled with fear. It was real. There was no doubt, but how? He waited for the preacher to ride away. Then, conflicted, he raced down the hill. He still wanted Walt dead, but the last thing he wanted right now was to be alone.
Walt! Walt, wake up!
Holy hell! Did you see that? Did you?
I saw everything.
So I'm not crazy. That damn snake wanted to kill me. Like it was personal or something.
The snake?
Yes, the snake. What do you think we're talking about here? Damn thing bit me at least 5 times.
Nathan considered telling Walt about what he'd seen, but to what end? He pondered it all as they rode in silence toward the next town. What had he seen? Why was the preacher targeting Walt? Was there a devil? A god? He only broke the silence briefly.
Why did you rob him? Do you know him, the preacher?
Know him? No, just know his kind. Gambling, well, some people say it's a sin. Maybe. I don't know about those kinds of things, but straight taking people's money. Oh, that ain't right. They call it ill-gotten gains. Couldn't allow him to keep that.
The answer just added to Nathan's confusion. His world was growing more gray with every passing moment. When the church came into view, Nathan couldn't get there fast enough. And when he saw the preacher, the snake of a man inside, he retreated even faster. His day had only grown more strange with the incident with the rabbit. What did it mean? He decided he would never know. Now he found himself riding on familiar trails as even more questions raced. Why, for instance, did they seem to be riding to his step-grandfather's cabin? Why had Walt been calling out his mother's name as he ran through the streets? "Did you see her?" Walt had asked. What could that possibly mean? The big question grew loudest. Was he prepared to do what he came to do? Could he kill Walt? He wasn't certain. They arrived in the middle of the night, but Walt was determined.
Here, hold the reins. I don't expect we'll be here long.
Walt was in a hurry, and Nathan's mind was spinning. He ignored Walt's request and followed the old man to the porch.
Wake up, you son of a bitch!
Nathan stayed out of sight, best he could.
You said she was dead!
The words further confused Nathan, but they hit him hard.
Hold on!
They were clear, cold confirmation. Walt knew Solomon. Walt knew his mother. In that moment, Nathan became convinced it was all true. He drew the pistol from his boot. He could do it. He would do it. As Walt's footsteps neared the cabin entrance, Nathan lifted the pistol. Walt stormed from the cabin. Nathan steadied his aim. Just as he ready to pull the trigger, Walt turned and, see Nathan's gun, he ducked.
Nathan, wait, wait!
The bullet from Nathan's gun shattered the door frame just as the bullet from Rachel's caught Walt's cheek. Off balance already, the shot knocked Walt backwards into the cabin. Nathan, unsure of the source of the second shot, leapt inside after him.
Help me bar the door.
The shot! Where'd it come from?
I don't know. Someone's been following us.
We might be able to make it out the back.
We can't just go out the back. We don't know how many of them there are.
How in the hell did you get tangled up with him?
The two men glanced at Walt, now slumped against the far wall, head in his hands. Nathan stormed to him, drew his pistol.
Hey, wait, what are you doing?
She would be alive if not for him.
Nathan pressed the pistol against Walt's forehead.
I want to know why. Why? Why did you abandon my mother?
What? Your mother? Oh, of course.
The truth hit Walt hard. Even as he fought to shake the ringing from his head, the room spun. The lights burned. Still, he knew enough. He was coherent enough to realize he was about to die. A calm washed over him. To die here, at this young man's hand, it felt right.
Next on Devil's Due.
You saw her dead?
We might be surrounded.
Well then, what say we visit that grave you dug?
Hold there. I will shoot you.
Know this. I'm prepared to burn this cabin down if it don't make you come out.
Episode 7, The Collection.
Thank you for listening to Crooked Stories Theater. Tune in each week for new episodes or even completely new projects. If you enjoy our stories, please help us spread the word and follow us on your favorite platform. And if you're listening on a platform that allows reviews or ratings, well, we'd sure appreciate the boost of a good review. Finally, we invite you to visit crookedstories.com for more information on who we are, our actors, our stories, and upcoming projects. You might even bump into a bit of bonus content, such as downloadable scripts. Again, thank you for listening. We hope to see you again soon.